السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على محمد
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. قال الله في كتابه الحكيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله، إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. It has been narrated that the Prophet Ibrahim, على نبينا وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة والسلام, one day took it upon himself that he would not eat alone, that he would sponsor someone, or he would have a guest every time he ate. He would share his meal with someone in thanks to Allah. And so when he took it upon himself to do this, a guest was brought to him. So when he accommodated this guest, he welcomed him in, he was about to share a meal with him. As they were beginning the meal, the guest dove right in. And so Ibrahim turned to him and he said that, are you not going to mention the name of Allah before you begin your meal? And so this man turns to him and he asks him, he says, what is this Allah that you speak of? He tells him, your Lord, your Creator, your worshipper. He says, no, I've never heard of such a thing. So apparently, Ibrahim had said it in a way where this man took offense. So this man replied to Ibrahim, he said, well, if you don't like it, I mean, you're the one who invited me to the meal, not the other way around. And so you're supposed to be accommodating to me. So the man got up and he left. At that time, God revealed to the Prophet Ibrahim, he told him, Ya Ibrahim, go and hurry after this man and seek repentance from him for offending him. And then he told him, O Ibrahim, who are you to ask this man of his Lord? We fed this man and we clothed this man and we gave this man sustenance for 50 years without asking him once about his Lord. We provided it to him unconditionally. So who are you to ask him about his Lord? And so Ibrahim hurries after this man and he tells him of the situation that my Lord has revealed to me so-and-so. And he apologizes to him. The man accepts the apology of Ibrahim. And he tells him, if this is whom your Lord is, then I bear witness that he is also my Lord. From this we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides sustenance to all unconditionally. It is narrated that during the time of the Prophet Moses, ala nabina wa ala alihi afdhalu salatu wassalam, one day he was going up the mountain in order to speak to his Lord. And this was one of the characteristics of Musa. He is known as Kalimullah. Kalim is the one who speaks, the one who has kalam, speech. And so he would speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as he was on his way, he found an old man And this old man knew that Musa was going to speak to his Lord, so he told him that I have a message that I want you to convey to your Lord. He said, what's the message? He says, tell your Lord that I don't need him anymore. I don't want to worship him anymore. And I have nothing to do with him. And he was very angry as he was delivering this message. So Musa was offended. And Musa decided not to deliver that message. So he went up, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had his conversation, his communication, his communion. And by the way, much of what Musa spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is narrated to us through our Prophet and through the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. If you look through the books of ahadith, there are many ahadith which start in the following way. The Imam says the following, that it has been reported or it has been said the conversation which took place between God and Moses as the following. So these conversations were actually passed down through divine knowledge from one prophet to the other, to our prophet and to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. And so after he was done with his conversation, Musa, with Allah, Allah said to Musa, he said, is there anything else that is left for you to convey? So Musa was reluctant. He says, are you sure there's no other message that you want to convey to me? Because Musa didn't want to convey that message, but he was trusted with it. And an amana, a trust, must be given no matter what the circumstances. And that's the characteristics of a true believer, that he gives back. If he's entrusted with something, with wealth or with property or even something as simple as a message, that he follows through with that trust. There's a hadith from the fourth imam, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salam, the fourth imam. He says the following. He says that if my father's murderer was to entrust me with his sword, I would have given it back to him. So imagine, the man, Shimr ibn al-Jawshan, who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin later says that if he had given it to me as a trust for me to protect, as a trust, as an amana, I would have given it back to him. So regardless of the circumstances, we are required as believers to give back what we are entrusted to. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That God commands you and He orders you that you give the amanat, that which you are entrusted with, that which you are endowed with, back to أَهْلِهَا, to its people to whom it belongs. So God tells Musa, he tells him, oh Musa, isn't there anything else that you're supposed to tell me? And so Musa begins to describe. He says, this man, as I was coming, this old man was just being rabid and he was saying, you know what, I don't want to worship God anymore and I don't want to have anything to do with God and I don't want sustenance from him. I can take care of myself. So he conveys the message. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reply to him? He tells him, O Musa, go back to this man and tell him that if he does not love his Lord still loves him. And that if he is ashamed to be my servant, I am not ashamed to be his Lord. And that I will continue to give him sustenance. And that I am not doing him a favor, this is my obligation as his creator. And I will continue to provide for him regardless of the circumstances. And so Musa, he comes back and he conveys the message to this man. And upon hearing this message, this man, he falls and he begins to weep and he begins to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his repentance. What we understand is that regardless of age, regardless of belief, regardless of ethnicity, regardless even of our species, whether we are human beings or whether we are animals or whether we are immovable objects, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides his sustenance. We know that each and every one of us is born with an immaculate heart. In fact, this is what our hadith tells us. Our hadith tells us that kullu mawludin, it says that every child which is born to Islam. And it is his parents and it is his environment which bring him to another path. And that's why you know, popularly we refer to converts as reverts, as people who come to the message of Islam, as people who have actually come back to the message of Islam because they are born with it. Now, Islam, it can be suggested maybe not the capital I Islam, but the lowercase I, meaning the submission, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a definite fact, that each person is born submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is deviated from that path eventually by his surroundings, by his environment, and so on. So the heart is immaculate at birth. It submits to God at birth. And it continues to be immaculate until a person begins to taint it with disbelief and begins to taint it with sin. And nothing can contain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the heart of a believer. And this is another hadith. The hadith says that the skies, the universe, the earth, everything in it cannot contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only vessel which can contain Allah and His love and His mercy is the heart of His believer. And as much as we try to expel Allah from our lives, there is always room to return to Him. There's a famous hadith, which I'm sure most of you have heard, which says that if a person repents to God, if he turns back to Him, 1 year before he passes away, then his repentance shall be accepted. And then the hadith says, no, but 1 year is too long. If a person repents to God 1 month before he passes away, then his repentance shall be accepted. And then it continues and says, no, 1 month is too long. If a person repents 1 week before, and 1 week is too long. If a person repents 1 day before, and a day is too long. And if a person repents 1 hour before, and an hour is too long. If a person repents 1 moment before death, a split second before death, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. At each and every single moment of our lives, there is an opportunity to turn away, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and away from ourselves. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, say, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي, my servants, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, people who have, they've lost hope in themselves, they've done too much to turn back, or they think they've done too much. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not have qunut. Qunut is different than qunut. Qunut is when you turn to Allah with your hands up. Qunut with a ta means hopelessness. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not have hopelessness in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yaghfiru al-dhunuba jami'a. God, surely, inna means surely, that God forgives all of the sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely, He is the one who is most forgiving and the one who is most merciful. But in order for this repentance to be accepted, in order for us to be forgiven, our repentance, number one, cannot be hollow. It must be sincere. It must come from the bottom of the heart. Some of our ahadith imply that if a person does as little as saying the phrase, Ya Allah, then God will forgive all of his sins. But the condition is that it has to come from the bottom of the heart. Sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, say Ya Allah, without thinking of anyone else or anything else. Having complete dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one hadith. It tells us that all of our sins will be forgiven. The danger comes when we begin to sin and disobey Allah so frequently that what happens is, and again, this is a term which is introduced in the hadith and is in the Quran as well, the hardening of the hearts. When a person's heart becomes hard. And what does that mean? That means a person frequents his disobedience so much that he becomes oblivious to it. That he treats every sin as something which is minute, something which is minuscule, and something which has no value. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He warns us of this attitude. He says in Surah An-Nur, chapter number 24, when he speaks about the sin of spreading rumors, because spreading rumors is a large sin in itself, what we refer to as namima, gossip, and ghiba, backbiting. He says to those who are engaged in slandering and in backbiting, he says to them, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. He says, you count it as something which is hayyin. Hayyin is something which is very minute, minuscule, has no effect. وَهُوَ, however, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is azim, it is very great. But because it rolls off your tongue so smoothly, it's become so easy that you count it as something which is minuscule. And what does that lead us to? That leads us to the hardening of the heart. Once your heart is hardened through sin, it becomes very hard to sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One way that the heart is hardened, and many people would probably not guess this, is when you consume that which is haram. When your food is haram, it's not halal, it's not pure. We know for a fact that when you consume that which is not pure, number one, the ahadith imply that if a person consumes that which is haram, his worship, his prayer, and his supplication is not accepted for 40 days. Maybe it takes 40 days for it to expel from his system, I don't know. That could be the philosophy behind it. But for 40 days, and not only that, his heart becomes hardened. That's why you see people who are always, and by the way, consuming that which is haram doesn't necessarily mean it's not on the qibla and the person does not say bismillah before slaughtering the animal. If the money which you receive is not pure and you purchase food with that money, then it also becomes haram as well. That's one way that the heart becomes hardened. And that's why we should take this out as an opportunity, especially in the upcoming month, the month of Ramadan, to ensure that the food that we place into our bodies, into our stomachs, is that which is pure and is halal and is tayyib and permissible for us. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So repentance cannot be hollow. It has to be sincere. Repentance should also be followed by a vow, a promise, never to return to that sin. It cannot be empty in this regard either. And for some people who have a hard time, and this is something which people practice and is used, for some people who have a hard time staying away from a certain habit, if it's a habit which is disfavorable or even haram, take it upon yourselves to vow to Allah in the form of a nidhr that you will not turn back to it. Because once you do a nidhr, then if you break that vow, that nidhr, then you must pay an expiation, a kafara. If there's a habit that you're trying to kick, you're trying to keep away, if you're trying to stop listening to music, for instance, or if you're trying to stop backbiting or gossiping or anything it may be, then try to do a nidhr. Promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, O Allah, it is upon me, there is a certain way to say it, لِلَّهِ عَلَيَّ نِذْرٌ, that for Allah upon me is a nidhr, a vow, that I would not do such and such. And then try to stay away from it as much as possible. Because if you do, you'd end up paying a kafara, an expiation, a penalty. So there must be a vow not to return to that evil. Now, we need to understand, before all of this, because you might think that it's a very big step, it's a very big leap to take to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, God is close. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. And if the servants, us, we are the servants, ask about me, Tell them that I am close. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ. I respond to the one who calls upon me, if he calls upon me. He doesn't say, I respond to the person who calls upon me if he's, you know, 6'2" and he has this much salary. If he call, that's the only condition. Only call upon me. I don't care what you are. Just call upon me. That's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close, number one. Number two, God is unconditionally generous. We read in the dua, in the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban as well, after our prayers. Ya man yu'ti man sa'alah. Oh he who gives those who ask him. Ya man yu'ti man lam yas'alhu. Oh he who gives to those who do not ask him. Wa man lam ya'rifhu. To those who do not even recognize him. To those who do not even know him. Sometimes God sends you a blessing in your life and you think, subhanAllah, I did not even ask for this blessing and it came my way. This is what is meant by يَا مَنْ يُعْطِي مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلْهُ. You have not asked him and he has sent you sustenance. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْهُ. How many people today we see, God has provided them with sustenance and they could not care less about what God is or who God is. No business at all. يَا مَنْ يُعْطِي مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلْهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْهُ تَحَنُّنًا مِنْهُ وَرَحْمَةً. Out of his love and out of his mercy for all things. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protective of us. Alhamdulillah, we read this dua in the month of Ramadan, dua al-iftitah. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي يُجِيبُنِي حِينَ أُنَادِيهِ وَيَسْتُرُ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ عَوْرَةٍ وَأَنَا أَعْصِيهِ. Praise be to God, the one who replies to me, answers me when I call upon him. And furthermore, وَيَسْتُرُ عَلَيَّ كُلَّ عَوْرَةٍ وَأَنَا أَعْصِيهِ. He veils. يَسْتُر. يَسْتُر comes from sitr. Sitr means to veil or to cover. وَيَسْتُرُ عَلَيَّ كل عورة وأنا أعصي. He veils my awra. What is an awra? An awra is that which is private. My deeds that I do in private. And at the same time, I am disobeying him as he is protecting me. Why does God protect? Why does he veil our sins? God is able to show our sins to the world in front of us. The reason is because human beings have conditioned themselves, and this isn't from God, they have conditioned themselves to act in the following manner. That if people don't know that they're not doing evil, people don't know that they're not doing evil, then it makes it okay. It's okay for God to know that you're doing evil, but it's not okay for people to know. Imagine if you commit a sin, an act of disobedience, and your best friend finds out about it, or your neighbor, or your acquaintance. You might not be able to show your face to that person the next day. And that's why God says, I will protect you. And I will continue to protect you. So that you can go on, either continue sinning, or you might turn back to me in repentance if you understand the force of what you are doing, how heavy it is. But imagine if God was to show, imagine if there was a wide screen and surround sound and HD attached to our back. You know, it displays every morning exactly what we've done the night before. Nobody would go out in public anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to protect. He says, I will continue. Even if you do evil in private, I'll continue. I won't tell anybody about it. Because He wants us to consciously choose the opportunity to turn back to Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protective of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place barriers. We read in the words of our fourth Imam, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin, narrated in Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, which is also another a beautiful supplication which is read during the nights of Ramadan. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَحْتَجِبُ عَنْ خَلْقِكَ. You do not place a hijab between yourself, a barrier, a cover, a veil between yourself and your khalq, those whom you have created. إِلَّا أَن تَحْجُبَهُمُ الْأَعْمَالُ دُونَكَ. The only thing which is a barrier between you and them is the a'mal, their deeds. That's the only thing which is our barrier from God. The deeds which we have placed from ourselves between ourselves and God. So God does not place barriers. The barriers only come from us. To consider these points and to wrap it up, we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened His doors for the believers. And that He has wanted us not to be people who lose hope. Going back to the story of Ibrahim, it is narrated that when the angels who came to visit the Prophet Ibrahim in order to deliver the news of him having a son, Ismail and then Ishaq, because you know Ibrahim reached a very old age, his wife also reached a very old age, and they could not conceive children. And this is our forefather whom we come from. So it was a long time before God sent him the two angels, the guests, which are mentioned in the Quran. Their story is mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr in the Quran and other surahs as well. To give him the glad tidings of him having a child. And that's why after having his sons Ismail and Ishaq, he turned to the sky and he said, Alhamdulillah alladhi wahaba li ala al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq. Praise be to Allah, the one who granted me, despite my old age, Ibrahim and Ishaq. Surely my Lord is one who hears my dua, my supplication. And so when they came to him to give him the glad news, the tidings, he didn't believe it. And his wife, she laughed. The way it is described is that her teeth were showing from her laughter because they could not believe it. So he said, what are you here? And this is what the Quran says. What are you here to give me glad tidings of? That I'm an old man? That's literally what he said. قَالَ أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِي عَلَىٰ أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرِ. You're here to tell me that I'm an old man? I already know that I'm an old man. My wife is an old woman. فَبِمَا تُبَشِّرُونَ. What do you have to tell me? So they say to him, قَالُوا بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِطِينَ. We are here to give you glad tidings, which is the truth from Allah. Do not be among those who are hopeless, قَانِطِينَ. So he remembers. He takes a step back and he says to himself, قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الظَّالُونَ. He says, who loses hope in his Lord except those who are truly lost, who have gone astray? So being hopeless in the mercy of God is a sign of one being astray. This is in regards to the Prophet Ibrahim. And in regards to the Prophet Musa, it is said that Musa, after he had escaped, after they had escaped Egypt, and they were in the Sinai Desert, and they were going towards Palestine, the promised land, and in which they were lost for about 40 years, it is said that while they were there, there was a drought, and so their crops were being destroyed, there was no water, and their food supplies were running scarce. So they decided to go out into the open and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala collectively for Him to send down His blessings in the form of rain. Much like we have here in California. So there was, here in California was a little bit like the Sinai Desert back then. So there was no water, and the crops were beginning to die. And so they went out, all of them, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down sustenance, to send down rain. And so they asked once, twice, they kept asking, and nothing would come down. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Moses, after Moses asks him, my Lord, where is the sustenance? Where is the rain? He says, there is a slanderer among you, among your group. A person who is used to slandering, gossip and backbiting. And this person is such a slanderer that I cannot accept his dua at this moment. And he is among you. But God did not tell Musa who that person was because he didn't want to single him out in front of everybody. He wanted to be protective of him, as God is protective, even of the sinners. So Musa was frustrated. Now this person knew who he was himself, but he didn't want to expose himself. Because what is he supposed to do? If he leaves Musa and the group, where is he to wander? In the middle of the desert? He won't survive by himself. This is in the middle of the Sinai Desert. And so, as they are praying, continuing their prayers, they notice all of a sudden that the clouds, they become gray, and there's thunder and lightning, and then a downpour of rain comes, to which their crops are brought back to life instantly. What Musa understands at that moment is that that person, out of his shame and out of his guilt, he quietly and by himself, secretly, privately, turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he repented for his slandering. And it was because of this one man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the order of a nation. And that's why we should not only look at ourselves as a group, but we should also look at ourselves as individuals. It's very good to do dua in a group, but we should also look to ourselves as individuals. We should purify ourselves before we approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us in this very blessed month, on this very blessed day, and in the coming month, to allow us to sincerely repent to Him, to allow us to turn to Him and ask Him for His mercy and for His forgiveness, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيد شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. Brothers and sisters, and respected elders and friends and guests, I would like to congratulate you on the auspicious occasion of the birth of the 12th Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hujjah, عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف. And in asking ourselves how to prepare for his arrival, I came across a piece of history relevant to him which I would like to share with you. Now, many people have the idea, and I spoke about this a little bit last night, that when the 12th Imam reappears, that as the Prophet was sent as a mercy to mankind, and with his akhlaq and with his manners, some ahadith, which have been of course discredited, seem to say that the 12th Imam, rather than being sent in the same way the Prophet was sent as a mercy, he will be sent with the sword. So he'll be walking around and chopping heads off the bodies. Now these ahadith are for the most part discredited. And what we know about the Imam, and some people, in fact, they push it further. They say that he is here to fight all of the disbelievers, to kill anybody who is not a Muslim, anyone who is not a follower of Ahlul Bayt, and it's all about vengeance and retaliation and retribution. This is not the case. And when I read this piece, it actually put many things into perspective. It says that the people of the West will believe in him before the people of the East. أهل الغرب يؤمنون به قبل أهل الشرق. Now, I'm not here to say that the people of the West are angels and the people of the Middle East are demons. No, not at all. Not at all. However, it's interesting because it is telling us something about the West. And it explicitly says, أهل الغرب, the people of the West. In that, in the people of the West, you might find those who are sincere, who might not follow the same path as you. They might not follow the same religion as you, but their hearts are pure. Those whom their hearts are pure will be the defenders of the Imam. And in fact, it adds to that. It says that among the people who will fight him, the term which is used is particular. It says, قراء الكوفة والبصرة. قراء means, today when we say قراء, it refers to those who read, قراء from قراء, to read, those who recite the Qur'an, or those who memorize the Qur'an. But the word قراء in this context refers to the scholars. Scholars from the cities of Kufa and Basra will come to him, and not only them, of course, others, but they will come to him, and they will tell him explicitly, bluntly, in his face, go back to where you came from. لا حاجة لنا فيك. We don't need you. We don't need you. We have the religion that we want for ourselves. So we don't need you anymore. So among the first people to fight him are those who say that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, and that they pray five times a day. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In the same fashion that those who fought against Imam Hussein alayhi salam were people who believed in God, and they believed in the Prophet, and they had the Quran, and they prayed their five daily prayers on time. And history does repeat itself. So to put things into perspective, it's not a matter of Middle East good, West bad. No, it's none of this. It's much more nuanced than that. It's much more detailed than that. And it's interesting to see that the hadith would comment on this sort of thing, saying that the people of the West will believe in him before the people of the East. What is our obligation, whether we are people of the West or we are people of the East, or we're stuck somewhere in between for some of us, is to prepare ourselves wholeheartedly and sincerely to support the cause of the Imam of our time. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of our background, regardless of where we come from, where we were born, where we live, what kind of upbringing we have, that he chooses us to allow us to be among those who defend the cause of our 12th Imam, which is the cause of the Prophet. It is the cause of Imam Hussein, and it is the cause of Islam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us on this day of Friday. Brothers and sisters, let us just take a moment to remember those who are in need of our prayers and our supplications. You know, the world that we live in today is constantly changing. Every week, the news is portraying something different. And a lot of things are happening right now, which reminds me personally of the verse in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. That they see it as very far, but we see it as something which is very imminent, something which is very close. And who knows? I mean, we cannot say that the end is tomorrow, or it is in 10 years or 100 years. We don't have the right to say that. But what we do know is that with this changing situation, we should constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to deal with these constantly changing situations, to allow us to be able to make sense of these situations which are rapidly evolving. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, our family members, our friends, all believers, regardless of their background, across the globe, those who are fighting evil, those who are doing good, those who are sincerely spreading the message of Islam, those who are sincerely preparing themselves for the arrival of our 12th Imam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma aghfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat, wal-muslimina wal-muslimat, al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat, tabi' baynana wa baynahum bil-khayrat, إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين